Last year, Alfred Smith wrote a book entitled, Those Who Get It and Those Who Don't. It's kind of a humorous look at life. It's actually a 300-page volume. Humorous look at life and situations that sometimes just leave you shaking your head at some people. Smith worked in New York City for 30 years, and he commuted there the entire time. And so his observations were observations about people that he noticed on his commute for 30 years. But also other areas of life that he was involved in, whether it was business or politics or the military or relationships, just a culmination of life's experiences. And his conclusion was this: regardless of the area of life, there are some people who get it and some people who don't. There are those that understand and those that are in touch and those that are clueless and those that are out of touch. Doesn't matter what area of life, you have both. And as we approach John chapters 9 and 10, that's what's going on. Jesus was about halfway through his 3.5-year public ministry, and John shows us a very sharp contrast between believing and unbelieving, between sight and blindness, between those who actually get it spiritually and those who don't. But it's not who you'd expect. The ones you think get it don't. And the ones you don't think get it actually do. Read with me chapter 9 of John, verse 1. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, It was not this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said these things, he spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Look at chapter 10, verse 19. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, He has a demon. He's insane. Why listen to him? But others, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? So let's look at John 9 and John 10 and see maybe a connection there that you've not noticed before and see what God has to say to us. First of all, number one, the man born blind, John chapter 9. It was sometime between two of the feasts of the Jews, the Feast of Dedication and Feast of the Tabernacle, sometime between those two, Jesus and his disciples were in Jerusalem. Now, there was a large crowd in Jerusalem because of the feast. Everybody came from various locations around the empire. And so everybody was there, which meant a lot of people in town. So if you were blind, if you were in need of some way, you would sit in a high traffic area hoping somebody would stop and give you something, whether it was money or primarily is money what they're looking for. Kind of like those that at the street lights, whenever we pull up and they only go to the sections that are a lot of high traffic areas. And so that's how the blind and the lame would do back in Jesus' day. So Jesus and his disciples are walking by, and there is a man who had been born blind. Now, this is the only time in Scripture we're told that a man was born blind. Others may be blind throughout the course of their life for whatever reason, but he was born that way. So they're walking by, and they see the man sitting there, and the disciples have a question. They don't say, wow, this poor man is born blind. I wonder what we can do to help him. That was not the question. Their question was primarily, he was just a theological debate. Because there was a debate in biblical days that if somebody was born with any kind of deformity or something was wrong with them, there was a debate, why were they born that way? Who sinned? Somebody had to sin. And there was the belief in biblical days that you could do something in your mother's womb, in your prenatal state, that sinned against God that caused you to be born with a problem. Others believe it was your parents that did it. So they're walking by, they see the man. Rather than seeing a need, they go, well, that's a good theological question. So Jesus, this man right here, did he sin? Did he do something in his mother's womb that caused him to be like this? Or did his parents sin? And Jesus said, neither one. He was born this way so God could do a work in his life. So he could get it. And I have to do the works of him that sent me while it is day, because night is coming when no man can do the work. Darkness and light. The motif you see through here. Now, of all the maladies that Jesus healed whenever he was here, he healed blindness more than anything else. What do you think that was? He was making a statement. You see, Jesus' miracles were not just about relieving human suffering. That was part of it. But he usually healed a miracle to make a point that those that are blind, their eyes need to be opened spiritually as well as physically. And those that have sight sometimes are the blind ones. And so Jesus, having said that, stooped down to where the man was sitting there, and he spit on the ground and got the spittle and the clay and made some mud. And then he put it on the man's eyes. Why did he do that? He could have just said, be healed, and gone on. We don't really know. A lot of theories. Some people believe so the man would know what's happening. He could hear Jesus spit. He could hear the rubbing. And then he could feel the mud. Maybe that's why. Maybe. We don't know. But maybe it was sensory for the man. Don't know. But as soon as he did that, Jesus said, now go to the pool Siloam and wash this off. Because that means sent. So there's a part of obedience. He wasn't healed immediately. There's obedience he had to take. And so someone led him by the pool with the eyes full of the saliva and the mud. And he went, and as soon as he at the pool washed and got off all the mud and opened his eyes for the first time, for the very first moment, he could see. And the Bible said he came back to the crowd seeing. And the crowd was abuzz. Oh, wait a minute. Wait, is that the guy that used to sit there begging every day? Oh, I think that's him. No, that's not him. I saw him earlier today. That's not him. It just looks like him. No, I think that's him. No, it just looks like him. Can you imagine we showed up at church one Sunday and there is the man that's at the red light every day asking for money? And you're going to work back and forth, and you show up, and there he is sitting in a suit, ready for church. You go, wait a minute, is that the guy at the red light? I think so. No, I think he just looks like him. No, that's him. And so this started in the crowd, and they decided to call him over. Hey, come here. He went over. Are you the man that sat here every day begging? What on earth happened? Well, this man named Jesus came by, and they were having a conversation, he and his friends, and he just spit on the ground, and he made some mud, and he put it on my eyes, and told me to go wash it off, and I washed it off, and opened my eyes, and I could see. And they said, wow, where is he? He goes, I don't know, I've never seen him. He had never seen Jesus, he didn't know what he looked like. So the Pharisees show up. Oh, the religious people. Our kind. The one that went to church every week and We're the ones that showed up to honor God and know His word. We showed up. Young man, what happened? Well, I was sitting here, and this man named Jesus came along, and he spat on the ground and made some mud and put it on my eyes and told me to go, and I washed, and I could see. Don't you know it's the Sabbath? The rubbing is work. He broke the command of God. Cared nothing about the man. Didn't rejoice that he had sight. He broke God's commandment. And then they ask him a question. What do you think of him? He said, well, I think he's a prophet. I think it was a setup. I think they threw a ringer in. I don't think he was really blind. I think this was a, you know like those faith healers? And you know how they bring somebody in and say, oh, they need healed. And then they're healed. And they go, no, I don't think they were healed. They never, and nothing's ever wrong with them to begin with. Skeptical. That's us. I don't think you were really born blind. Talk to your parents. So they call his parents over. Is this your son? Yes. Is he born blind? He was. Then why can he see? Now they had a dilemma. They're happy their son can see, but if they in any way show favor to Jesus, they know the religious leaders don't like Jesus. And so there is a possibility that if they side with Jesus, the mom and dad will be kicked out of the synagogue. That would mean, number one, you're expelled for life. You don't get to come back. Never come to church again, ever. And the synagogue was not just religious life, it was social life. So their social life would be gone. Their friends would be gone. Everything would be gone. They'd be ostracized for life. So they thought about it a second. And said, well, he's old enough to speak for himself. Why don't you ask him? And they left. Folks, there are some people, you agree with what's happening here. Whenever I preach, you're in agreement. Whenever you study the Bible in Sunday school, you're in agreement. But there's pressure on you from the outside, from culture, number one, from your peers, from those people you run with, maybe your family. There's pressure that if you speak up, you might be ostracized. So you just stay quiet. Now, you come to church and agree, but when you leave, you blend in. So they left. So the Pharisees decided, let's ask the man another time. So they called him back. Here, okay. Tell us again, very slowly and very detailed, what happened. And the man said, I've already told you once and you didn't listen. Why should I tell you again? Oh, I know. I bet the reason you want me to tell you again is you secretly are a follower of Jesus too, and you just love the story and want to hear it again. Ooh, they got furious. Don't you lecture us. We're Moses followers. Moses came from God. You are this man's followers. We don't know where he's from. And the man said, isn't that amazing? You don't know where he's from, but it can open the eyes of the blind. Huh. I guess some people get it and some people don't. So let's think about this, the formerly blind man said, talking to the Pharisees. Let's think about this for a moment. Let's look at some theological truths. That's you guys' area. we know that if a person is a sinner, God doesn't hear him. So if he's going to heal my eyesight and he prays to God, God will not hear him to open my eyes. Right? Silence. So how did this man from God open my eyes if he's a sinner? Oh, they are furious by now. That does it. Don't you lecture us. We're the experts. You're the blind man that sinned. And they cast him out of the synagogue. He's expelled, gone for good, never to come back. And so he left. And he's walking around the crowd. John tells us that Jesus had heard the man had been kicked out of the synagogue, and he went to find him. And so the man's walking around, and Jesus walks up to him and asks the young man, said, excuse me, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he said, I would love to, sir. Who is it? He'd never seen him. Who is it? It's me. I'm talking to you. He said, I believe. And he fell on his knees and worshiped Jesus. Folks, it's the only time in the Gospel of John we're told anybody worshiped Jesus. This man. Look at the progression. When he was first asked about Jesus, he said, well, this man named Jesus came by and he spit on the ground. That's verse 11. And then the second time he was asked, who do you think he is? He said, well, I think he's a prophet. That's verse 17. Well, who do you second time? Who do you say is? Well, he's a prophet from God. It's verse 33. And then he says, your Lord. Verse 38. It was a progression. His blindness was leaving. And his sight was coming. He was getting it. Jesus made one more statement to him. For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see you. And those who see, the religious leaders, are blinded. I came so that those who think they get it will realize they don't. And those who don't get it will get it. John 9 ends. Let's go to number 2 on your outline, John 10, the Good Shepherd. Jesus now goes into a discourse about the Good Shepherd. And at first glance, it looks like chapter 9 has nothing to do with chapter 10. And it looks that way, doesn't it? Chapter 9, you have this cool story, and the man's eyes are opened. And he realizes who Jesus is, and then we just whisk away to John 10, and it's this discourse on the Good Shepherd, and they have nothing to do with one another, but maybe they do. It was sometime soon after John 9 happened that John 10 opened. So sometime after the man was kicked out of the synagogue, his eyes were opened, Jesus stood teaching his disciples, but the crowd was listening too. And here's what he said. Truly, truly, I say to you. Now, anytime Jesus says truly, truly, or in your King James, verily, verily, whatever comes next is really important. So perk your ears up every time he says that. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but tries to climb in another way, is a thief. Robber. But he who enters the door by the shepherd of the sheep, to him the gatekeeper opens. His sheep come in, they hear his voice, he calls them by name, and he leads them out. He who has brought all of this his own goes before them, The sheep know his voice. They follow him. But whenever someone that's not the shepherd calls, they will not follow a stranger. In fact, they will run from a stranger because they do not know the voice of strangers. What was he saying? Well, what's interesting is John stops right there at that point in the discourse, and he says Jesus was using a figure of speech. He doesn't say a parable. He was using a figure of speech. And John stops to tell us they didn't understand what he said. He was making a point of what had just happened. This blind man, kicked out of the fold, the synagogue, but welcomed into the shepherd's kingdom. Out of one fold and into the other. In the one fold, you have not shepherds, but you have hired servants who care nothing about the sheep. And in the other, you have the good shepherd who calls and leads, and you hear him, and you love him, and he loves you. As Warren Wiersbe said, the man was thrown out of one fold and led into another one. And this was a picture of what had happened. Those religious leaders were the wolves, and the shepherd was Jesus. But he continued, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. If anyone enters by me, they will come in and have pasture and have it everywhere. Beautiful life. But if you enter the fold of the hired servants, all you have are rules, regulations, harshness. What's interesting is, back in biblical days, many times the shepherd at night, they would have an enclosure go on three sides with one end open. And so they put the sheep in the enclosure at night because the wolves would come, or anything other than wolves that would to get the sheep. So it put the sheep in the enclosure. And sometimes many families would go together for one enclosure, not just one family. Sometimes it's many families, like a community of sheep. And so they'd put them in there, and the shepherd, that enclosed on three sides, and the shepherd with this side here would watch the sheep at night, making sure nothing came into the enclosure to get them. And many times, if he wanted to rest for the night, he would lie down on this side of the enclosure and something would have to go over him to get the sheep. And so he literally was the door of the enclosure. And so it's kind of telling as he talks about that I'm the door and you have to go through me to get in. Anyone that comes in or out has to go through me. And that's a picture of Jesus. You don't just wander in and out of heaven, folks. You have to go through the door. You have to have a relationship with Christ. Amen. He continues speaking. A hired servant's not the shepherd. Those religious leaders are not your shepherd. The shepherd, when he sees the wolf coming, he will run because he doesn't care anything about sheep. The shepherd, when he sees a blind man, will not care anything about him because he's just all about the rules. I'm the good shepherd, Jesus says. I know my own and they know me. There will only be one flock, one shepherd. My Father loves me because I laid down my life for the sheep. Nobody has the authority. It's given to me by God. Nobody has the authority to lay down their life and to take it back up again, but I do. A lot of people laid down their lives before, but no one's ever taken their life back up again. He's the only one. And with that, he stops. What was the point? Let's look. Number three on your outline, those who get it and those who do not. There are some Bible scholars that believe not just the Gospel of John, but all the Gospels together, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as they tell the story of Jesus. There are some Bible scholars that believe if you could summarize everything he did, it would be that some get it and some don't. Some are blinded and some have sight. Some believe and some don't. And the Gospel of John shows us this much more clearly. In this passage, you have blindness and sight. You have darkness and light. You have belief and unbelief. You have genuine and false. You have shepherds and you have hirelings. And you have both. And the ones who look like they get it, the Pharisees, oh, they look good. They go to church every week. They're there. They're very meticulous. They don't do wrong things. They do the right things. They know the Bible. That's us. Those who look like they get it don't. And those who don't look like they get it, blind man sitting there in sin, gets it. It's the same in our culture. There are those that look like they get it. They're the progressives. They're contemporary. They're in touch with culture. They're in touch with people. They value people over truth. They are tolerant. They are inclusive. They are welcoming. We love everybody. We get it. And they don't. And in our culture, the ones who don't look like they get it is us, Christians. We're exclusive. We're intolerant. We value truth over people, they say. Oh, those Christians, they don't get it. But we do. It's the same. There are those that look like they get it. And those that don't look like they don't. And it's always reversed. Look how the story ends. The Good Shepherd narrative ends in John 10, verse 19. And it says this, after Jesus spoke these words, there was a division among the people about Christ. Many of them said, that guy's crazy. He is insane. He's nuts. Don't listen to a word he says. He is crazy. He's a demon. But there are others that said, wait a minute, I'm not so certain. He's not acting demon-oppressed or possessed. And can a demon open the eyes of the blind? That goes all the way back to John chapter 1, verse 9, verse 1. The passages are linked. So our story closes with some thinking they get it, but they don't. And others, people, don't think get it, actually do. So here's my question. Which one are you? Do you get it, or do you just think you get it? It's a good question. And it's the crux of the Gospel of John. Father, I thank you for your love for us, and I just pray that each one of us, God, will not go through life thinking we get it when we really don't. Thinking that really all it's about is coming to church and being good, stopping bad habits, and reading your Bible from time to time. And that's enough. When, Lord, you tell us we don't even come into the fold unless we go through the door. So, Lord, would you please show us today those eyes that think they get it but don't, would they be opened like the blind man's? to realize I've never truly submitted my life to the shepherd. And I'm not one of the sheep. So, Father, would you help us with that today? And when we realize it and our eyes are opened, may we go to the pool and wash and do something about it. In Jesus' name, amen.